Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. We are coming down to the wire tonight, folks, in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder have a 103-100 lead on the Nuggets. Nuggets have actually had a lead for most of this fourth quarter. There's 2 minutes to go. 2 minutes to go. In hockey tonight, the Dallas Stars got the 3-1 dub over the Jets. So they are up 3-1 now in that series. And then the other game in the NBA, the Pacers were down 19 in the first half. Midway through the second quarter, they're down 19 points as Nikola Jokic just made the dumbest three-point shot to ever exist. How did that go in? He's got 44 points. My God.
It looked like I had a rainbow arc. It was an insane shot.
Was there like any time left on the clock? He's like stuck. Chet Holmgren's in his face. 3 seconds left on the clock. This is one of my agendas. I do have agendas. I do. Some agendas are for you guys to hate the teams that I hate, or to at least recognize the things in those teams that I hate about them. Others are for, I think, good. I think Nikola Jokic loves basketball and cares a lot about it. And I don't like this whole, I just want to get back to my horses thing. Guy's out there busting his ass off. I think he cares quite a bit about basketball. Big three ball from OKC. This is, admittedly, and I've said this is the hardest. I would just like to watch this game now. I'd like to be able to react to the game, but it's also hard when these kind of games are going on. Like yesterday, what was I talking about yesterday? I was talking about something yesterday, and as I'm talking, I'm just watching Jason Tatum go down, and he's out for the year now, next year. And I'm just like, the thing about the Denver Broncos is that their running game is going to be consistent, you know, as I'm in my head being like, ah, Tatum. Cleveland, I'd like to say hello to Cleveland tonight. I'm so sorry for you. I feel for you. This is not how things were supposed to go for you. 64 wins in the regular season and another exit after game 5.
Cleveland!
In the Eastern Conference semifinals, although this time you're at home, up 19 points. Just, I don't know, ran out of steam or what? And there were some injuries early in the series, and so that gave me the ability to rag on the Pacers, which I did. But of the series that the Pacers have won the last 2 years to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, by the way, I think it's May 25th. Sunday, May 25th. Going to be a huge day in Indy. The Indy 500 is the same day as whatever game that will be, and that will be in Indianapolis. So they do play the Pacers the same day as the race. Pacers and Racers, they're calling it already. Big day on May 25th, that's Sunday. But I think the Pacers, of all the series that they've won to get back to this point, I think there's fewer questions from the team that lost. There's fewer, well, what if? Because I think the Bucks had enough injuries that you're like, well, what if we were healthy? And the Knicks last year, well, what if we were healthy? The Cavs, even that first series they played where they swept the Heat, they were looking a little gassed. So I don't know what happened. Did they go too hard in the regular season? You don't want to say that. That sounds dumb. But maybe that's why load management was sort of invented. Why is Donovan Mitchell so tired? What happened? Why is Donovan Mitchell at the line with a couple minutes to go missing all three free throws? What happened there? Pacers, this is a team who I believe last year was 25th in payroll, 22nd right now. They have Tyrese Halliburton, sure, all-star. And Pascal Siakam's had good success, Miles Turner. But what they have is a team that is just built not even the right way, but it just all fits for them. It just all fits for them. They have a well-assembled team. They did a good job. Rick Carlisle, everything that he's done, they've done a good job assembling that team. And so as you watch them succeed, likely against the Knicks, should be a very interesting series. We're assuming the Knicks now beat the Celtics. I'll take the Knicks to beat the Celtics, and then I'll take the Knicks to beat the Pacers. But, I mean, is it going to surprise me if the Pacers win in five now? Look, they're a good team. I don't like them. I don't like watching them. I'm probably going to take off every night if they play in the NBA Finals. I just have to. I don't like them. Sorry. I can't professionally talk about the Pacers. I cry like a little baby boy. Oh, Tyrese Halliburton didn't talk to the media. None of you care. I try to get you to care. They're a good team. Johnny's in Atlanta, 888-710-4476. And there you go, Johnny. They're a good team. What can I say? They're back here 2 years in a row. You know, at some point, I just got to admit they're a good team.
Okay, I got some words for you. Fun to watch.
No, they're not fun to watch. They're not fun to watch.
No. Listen, understand what I'm saying. No. Fun to watch. Fantastic ball movement. Fabulous game. You said yesterday, you said the Pacers are going to make you use the F word. So I'm giving a lot of F words so you can use for the Pacers, all right? Remember you said that I'll give you a lot of F words to use.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Carlos won't lose his job, and you won't get fired. Because that's what you got to say. Fun to watch. Fantastic game.
Fantastic.
So that's what I'm giving you right there. And man, you can't say this game was good to watch, man. This was a great game. They came down by 19 to win in Cleveland. So basically, you said the Milwaukee Brewers and the Cleveland what's the name played today, right? So two teams the Pacers beat out in less than 2 weeks. We took care of the city again this year. Ain't that great, Mark? That's great.
So I had congratulations. I'm so happy for you and yours.
And then I got one more thing. I know a way that you said how can you move down in the baseball games. How about in seventh inning, they give out, hey, you want to upgrade your ticket? Come to this section right here. You pay $5, you upgrade your ticket. So
yeah, they should do that.
Exactly. And keep on. You're gonna grow to like the Pacers. Cause I'm gonna make you grow to like the Pacers, man. And that's all I had to call in and tell you to have the good F words he used.
Well, I do appreciate that. That there's some cleverness, Johnny, to that. And thank you for going above and beyond. I did say that last night. The Pacers are going to get me to use the F word. That I will end up swearing in my disdain for watching the Indiana Pacers play basketball. So Johnny gave me some other F words to use. I got another F word for you. Final, the game between Oklahoma City and the Denver Nuggets. Once again, in the fourth quarter, the Thunder pull ahead. There'll be a game six in Denver. And then maybe a game seven, we'll see. It's been a tough series. And Denver seems to be losing a little bit of steam. Like, on one hand, Denver's got the championship medal. But then on the other hand, the Thunder are way more young and energetic. And now they're doing their complete team post-game interview, which is endearing at first, and then it gets kind of weird. But good for them. 888-710-44ISN, 888-710-4476. Much more on this and the Pacers a little bit later in the show. We've got Caller Fold coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to touch on this Trey Hendrickson situation as he spoke today. Bengals had a workout, and he showed up outside the stadium and basically let the media know what was going on and how unhappy he is. Trey Hendrickson talking to the Cincinnati media about how disappointed he is with all of the communication.
Well, I can raise a hypothetical with a hypothetical. I wouldn't be standing here with you if I got the deal in January, you know. So to say I'm going to sit out or to say I'm not going to, what I can say is I'm very disappointed with the communication that's been had. It's very, former players have walked in these shoes, and what it foreshadows is not something that I'm excited about to tell my wife and family, like, hey, this is, I'm getting good vibes, or should be happy.
So he told the media that he got a text from Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, which may have been a directive from the ownership and the team, that if you don't show up at the mandatory minicamp in June, you'll be fined. So that text prompted the statement released to the national media that there's been no communication between his side and the team about the contract extension since the draft. He has another year of the contract that he is under. So what you could say is, well, why don't you play under the contract that you signed? Now, he has said that the team has promised him that if he produced in 2023 and 2024 at levels that warranted a reworking of the contract, the team would gladly sit down and hammer it out. So they basically said, if you're great, then we will figure out a new contract for you. And last year, he led the league in sacks with 17 and a half. And he also had 17 and a half sacks the year before that. See, this is tricky. A lot of the times if you sign a contract, that's the contract you signed. That's the contract that you signed. But if you know that you're going to sign another one, as he would want to keep playing, then I do think you can renegotiate the contract if you both get something out of it. You're getting more money. Your team's getting more years of your service. So I think you can approach that mutually beneficial. And that's ultimately what he wants to do. And rather than play another year and then sign a contract, he wants to play in Cincinnati. He wants to be assured that he's going to play in Cincinnati. Plus, you kind of want some guarantees. Like, I don't want to just play on this contract of $20 million if I'm going to get hurt. This is a relationship that is on the rocks right now. It seems like it's only going to get worse before it gets better, if it ever gets better. Hendrickson still holding out hope that this relationship can be fixed.
Oh, I think every relationship is repairable, right? Like I think Myles Garrett proved that. He's a great man, and he's done great things for his family, and obviously providing on and off the football field, he's tremendous. But I think that relationship will repair with time, and same with this. This is just the uncomfortable business side that we've unfortunately had to deal with for the last couple years, and quite frankly, I think we're all spent.
Hendrickson also told the media about the text exchange with him and the coach, Zach Taylor. A little bit transpired there. We tried to keep it as least amount as personal as possible, but at some point it does become personal. Being sent 30 days before camp that if I don't show up, I'll be fined alludes to the fact that you don't think we're going to get something done in that time frame. And so with the lack of communication post-draft, that made it clear immediately to my party being, you know, my wife, my son, and my agent, that I had to inform them that this might not work out. Other things have transpired, like the importance of me being here in OTAs doesn't seem to be respected. I think I've carried a lot of respect. I don't mean to insinuate anything about anyone's character, but that was disappointing. I think that was the word of the offseason. We all gave it our all under the defense last year. We did fall short. That's about being a man, too, is standing up. This is a real interesting one because Hendrickson does seem to, like, lament and hate every bit of this process. But at the same time, he also feels like this is what's right for him, his family, his career. And he feels like he deserves to get an extension. And it certainly seems like he does. Plenty of other players in his position have been able to work it out with the team and get an extension. Why does this have to be different? And from the Bengals side of things, this is a Bengals team that I think has a shot. You know, Joe Burrow's out there advocating for all of his weapons to come back, and they did it. And they had to outscore teams last year, and they did fall short. But they've got that offense back. They've got an offense that can put up 30-some points a night. They've got that offense. The best player on your defense needs to be back. The Bengals, the last few years, have like quietly been in a Super Bowl window. They made a Super Bowl. We all seem to forget about, but they made a Super Bowl. Lost to the Rams. Then the next year, Burrow gets hurt. Then last year, the defense is historically terrible. And you got to almost think, is that kind of an anomaly too? Burrow getting hurt. That you can chalk up as an anomaly. Is this almost an anomaly as well? That's how bad the defense was. So the one thing you can't do is let the defense be worse. So it's interesting how they're playing hardball here. And the Bengals, an operation that historically does play hardball. Hendrickson wants to be there. 1 year, $21 million deal. He wants a good extension. Loves Cincinnati. Just wants to play. Doesn't like the communication. So we'll see how this gets resolved. But he mentioned Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett wanted out. Myles Garrett traveled down the radio row at the Super Bowl. Myles Garrett did interviews with any station that had a team. Hey, Myles, we'd love you in Philly. Oh, that sounds good. Hey, we'd love you in Dallas. Oh, you never know. Then what did he do? He signed with the Browns because they gave him the most money. So that's how you could repair this one. But interesting comments from Trey Hendrickson today. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Amongst everything that's been going on with these playoffs and the NFL schedule and the baseball in and of itself, Rob Manfred comes out today and makes really, I think, shameful decision regarding some eligibility to the Hall of Fame. And we want to get into that. We will in Caller Fold, our weekly edition of That is coming up next. This is The Bart Winkler Show.
It's The Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on The Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Call or Fold.
It's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! It's Call or Fold every Tuesday here on the Bart Winkler Show until it's not on Tuesdays when the Bartometer inevitably takes its place. I assume.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have to move this.
I assume we move Call or Fold to Thursdays. Although, who says we can't do two things on Tuesdays?
Me. Maybe by then we'll just have so many different segments.
It's very possible. I mean, I've been waiting on imaging for one for like the last month. I won't throw anybody under the bus, but where is my imaging? Here's how Call or Fold works. It's basically by ourselves, but better, because we got snazzy jazz music that's generic so nobody can sue us for copyright. And I got buzzers and stuff. All good gimmicks. Let's start here. The Pacers eliminate the Cavaliers and return to the Eastern Conference Finals for the second straight year. In this playoff run, they've knocked off your Milwaukee Bucks and an actually good team, in the Cavs. Although the Cavs half the time were hurt. But, you know, still, you know, they got pieces back and they were a good team. It's time you submit to their authority. Call or fold. The Pacers are a top four team in the NBA.
Oh, boy. Well, they're going to be in the Final Four, so I would have to say yes. No. Fold.
Fold.
Maybe. The Thunder are better than them. Oh my God. You know what? I don't want to think about this one. I'm just going to.
This is why it's here.
They can't be. They just can't be a top four team in the NBA.
Talk it out.
If they beat the Knicks or whatever, of course, it'd be more likely they somehow play the Celtics without Jason Tatum. Like, the Celtics will come back, and then they'll get them, and then they'll go to the finals, and then everybody on Oklahoma City will get COVID or whatever, not be able to play. They're not... Talent-wise, I do not think so. I do not think that they are a top-four talented team in the NBA. But part of what you have to do as a team is figure out how the pieces connect. And so they are playing like they are as good of a team as there is in the league, yeah. So I'm going to, you know what? I am going to call, fold, what's another option? I'm not going to raise. I'm going to double down and say they're not a top four team.
Damn, I don't have an image in for that, but I like it.
I just want to say something, if I may. I have a...
It's your show.
Yeah, I got to address this because it's ruining the segment for me because I'm thinking about it. If you could dim the music for just a moment. So I said last hour that my lawnmower won't start. Okay? And I said that... Because of that, I posted a picture. So I have to get this off my chest. So last year, I took a picture of my lawnmower after I mowed my lawn, made the grass look like a grave, made the lawnmower look like a tombstone, posted in front of it, rest in piss bees. Because some people where I live don't mow their lawn because they think it helps the bees. And I think they're just being lazy. So then tonight, I was talking about how I didn't get my lawnmower started. And on my Facebook page, I put the picture back up that I put up a year ago. And I wrote the caption, took this picture last May. This May, my mower won't start. The bees have won. And so I saw that I got a notification on Twitter. And I was just talking to some friends today. They go, why don't you tweet more? I go, because there's a certain different feeling on Twitter. Everybody on these other apps has fun or has discussions. On Twitter, it's like, I'm going to say something to you that's going to make you want to die. So this guy, Chris, tweets me, how stupid do you think we are? You posted a pic in front of a freshly mowed strip of grass with the caption, rest in piss bees, and you say you don't know how to start a push mower? Survey says, real effing stupid. Chris, read the damn words! God! See? This is bothering me the most because now I'm spending time on it because I was just talking about stupid people like this. You're pissing me off, Chris. All right, back to the segment. Good job. Good job. Hey, Chris, you can tell your friends now that you triggered a sports radio host on his show. You triggered him. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Rawr!
Well, it just really makes me mad. It just really makes me mad. Lack of comprehension makes me mad. I shouldn't have to clean up other people's stupidity. And I feel like I'm doing it all day, all the time. All I ever talk about on the show is... you guys should think this because you're thinking this when you're not thinking this. And I'm always right. Grr. All right, go
Rawr.
Ahead.
R-A-W-R. That's how I spell Rawr. Let's go to let's go to Boston here. Jason Tatum underwent surgery to repair a ruptured right Achilles tendon after suffering an injury late in the fourth quarter of the Game 4 loss to the Knicks. Team said the surgery was a success, but there's no timetable for his return. Most likely he's going to miss most, if not all, of the next regular season. So like the Bucks, the Celtics will pay over $50 million to someone who isn't playing. Call or fold. The Boston Celtics will be a play-in team next season.
Oh, no. I'll fold that.
Fold.
And we're going to see what they could look like. You know, they're going to need more from Porzingis, I guess, these next couple of games. But the East, like, the top six teams were the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Bucks, the Pistons. So are the Cavs going to be a top six team next year? Yes. Are the Knicks? Yes. Are the Pacers? Yes. Are the Bucks? I don't know. Are the Pistons? Let's say yes. Okay, well, which one of these teams is going to jump into the top six? The Magic? Eh. The Heat? No. The Hawks? No. The Bulls? No. The Raptors? No. Yeah, the Celtics will still, they'll get in the playoffs next year. They won't need to worry about the play-in, and they'll be a top six team. So I'm going to call that, not raise, but call it and feel like I've got a little bit of confidence behind myself.
Yeah, nobody's scared about the Bulls picking 12th again. So perfect for them. All right, no deal yet for all-pro defensive end Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals. According to Hendrickson, Bengals head coach Zach Taylor sent him a text message that missing the team's mandatory minicamp, which is basically a month away, will result in a fine. Hendrickson is set to make $15.8 million in base salary this season, but the market has changed over the last year with Myles Garrett resetting the market with a contract extension that averages $40 million annually. Call or fold, the Bengals must pay Trey Hendrickson before mandatory training camp.
Yeah, I'll call that. I think they should.
Cold.
And a lot of times we see these things play out, and then it does work out, and we've just sat and watched it and talked about it. Why do we have to be a part of their negotiations? You know, why does he got to sit in front of the stadium and do this? Why does the team have to play hardball? Especially then when the team's like, okay, we will give Myles Garrett the most money ever. And Jerry Jones is like, okay, we will give all these players as much money as they ever wanted. And the Bengals shouldn't just do it to appease Trey Hendrickson. They should do it because I think they have a legitimate chance at winning a Super Bowl this year. The defense is going to need to play better. But if we think the Chiefs might slip a little bit, you know, the Ravens seem to not be able to get past their ceiling. The Bills, I like the Bills. I like the Bills' chances quite a bit. But I think Cincinnati's definitely in that conversation. So why would you not have this guy back on your roster? I don't know. So many times people are like, they side with the suits on these ones. They side with the owners. Oh, you don't want to pay that guy. You want to be good or not? Because if you want to be good, you're going to have to pay good people to be good. He's given you 18 sacks the last 2 years. 17 and a half, and then 17 and a half. Pay him. Get this over with. What is he, 29? Another contract of him is going to be just fine. Just pay him. It's so stupid. Pay him.
Yeah, pay him. It's not my money. All right, breaking quarterback news out of New Orleans. Hope you're sitting down for this one. The Saints have signed a quarterback. His name is Hunter Deckers. I have no idea who he is, but the Saints now have four quarterbacks under the age of 27 following Derek Carr's retirement. Their second-round pick out of Louisville, Tyler Shuck, he's 25. Spencer Rattler out of University of South Carolina, go Gamecocks, he's 24. And Jake Haener, doesn't really matter where he went to school, he's 26. He probably won't be on the roster pretty soon. Derek Carr's retirement eases the cap the team would have faced by returning $30 million. And with their salary cap situation, lackluster roster, and coaching turnover with the Saints, I ask you, call or fold, Derek Carr only did the Saints a favor by retiring now so he can go somewhere else next season.
I'll fold that. I don't think he's going to play. And it's not like it's Aaron Rodgers here where it's going to be worth the mystery of where Derek Carr is going to play. Even last year, Derek Carr did not look that great. It is weird that he left $30 million on the table. He did do that.
Yeah, couldn't be me.
There must have, I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but why would you do that? Because you did something that you shouldn't have? That's how you got hurt? I don't know. I think he's done. I think Derek Carr is, he's done. It's all fold.
I'll be looking forward to seeing him as a Jet next year. 3 years late.
He should have been a Jet 2 years ago.
Doesn't mean, but, you know, that's exactly what will happen. He'll be a Jet next year, 3 years late. All right, last one here, and I saved this one for the end. I'm actually going to kill the music now because this is a story that I've been looking forward to all day, and it's actually pissed me off the most.
Are you going to unprofessionally yell during the middle of the segment?
No. I just shutting off the music, no clothes today because, like, this story sucks to me. I don't want to sway your opinion. This is why it's call or fold, but I think it sucks. Pete Rose, shoeless Joe Jackson, and other deceased players from Major League Baseball's permanently ineligible list have been removed, and therefore they are eligible to be voted on for the Hall of Fame. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred ruled that MLB's punishment of banned individuals ends upon their deaths. Here's Pete Rose when he was alive, saying there's no point to take him off the list when he dies.
I don't see much sense and putting me on the ballot after I die. Because for a player to go into his or her Hall of Fame, it's more or less for your family and it's more or less for your fan base. And I'm big on both of those two things right there. And I know most of the people who rooted for me my whole career would love to see me in the Hall of Fame as a living player, not as someone who's 10 feet under. And I always thought about that. What good would it do my family if they put me in the Hall of Fame after I die? I can't think of anything good about that.
Maybe we tease this for next segment. Whatever you want to do. But call or fold, Rob Manfred and baseball owners made an incredibly gutless decision by removing the ineligible ban for DC's players.
Yeah, I hate everything about this. So call, and I do want to spend some more time on it. So we will do that here momentarily. And I also have a workaround for some of these people in the steroids era that maybe think they're never getting in. I've got an idea how we can scam the system. So grab onto your butts. 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. I got a text from Carlos Ortiz today. Can I read it? Do you mind?
You always do.
that's true. You told me that we needed to say harsh things in the direction of Rob Manfred tonight.
You could say what I really said.
You said we need to kill Rob Manfred, killing cats.
Rob Manfred's a murderer.
And I didn't see what had happened at that point. I didn't know what you were talking about. I don't know what I thought it was going to be about, but I never would have guessed that it would be what it was about, which is that Rob Manfred on Tuesday removed anyone who's deceased off of the permanently ineligible list to what it's got ramifications, where it has ramifications is the Hall of Fame, but what happens is sometimes these guys do something, shoeless Joe Jackson, okay, Black Sox scandal, Pete Rose. What happens is there's people that do something that they get banned forever. Other guys, including Happy Flelsch, Fred McMullen, Buck Weaver, Lee McGee, Phil Douglas, Cozy Dolan. I don't know what all these guys did, but they're all banned. Some of those guys might have been on that team. But Pete Rose is on there too. So basically, the summation of this is that when you die, you're no longer banned. And now why that's a little important to this story and why Pete Rose is the one that's being talked about more than anybody today is because of the Hall of Fame. In response to a petition from the family of Pete Rose, Commissioner Rob Manfred today issued a policy decision regarding the status of 17 individuals who passed away while on the permanently ineligible list. Excerpts of a letter to the lawyer for the Rose family included, "In my view, once an individual has passed away, the purposes of banning them has been served. Obviously, a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. Moreover, it is hard to conceive of a penalty that has more deterrent effect than one that lasts a lifetime with no reprieve. Therefore, I've concluded that permanent eligibility ends upon the passing of the disciplined individual, and Mr. Rose will be permanently removed from the list." Now, what Manfred's writing this letter here, and why is this, why, on one, like, I'm thinking about this, Carlos, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, they're no longer with us. There's no reason for them to be banned. So take them off the list. That seems harmless. I can understand if you're like, oh, that seems harmless. But in the arena of which we were talking last week about artificial intelligence and AI, I don't like that the NBA and NBC is using the guy's voice from the 90s. They're using his voice, but it's AI. He doesn't know he's being used in that way.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, we got to teach AI to do better stuff before AI realizes, if it already hasn't, that we are far inferior beings and they take over. But I have several issues with this, and I'm not going to get into it all of it right now because we only got about 3 minutes left. But this is gutless in every sense of the decision, because it speaks to how hypocritical baseball is. And it's not just baseball exclusively, all sports. Everyone's taking money hand over fist for gambling. There's a sports book literally almost every stadium. Partnerships, sponsors, all the thing about gambling and bonus bets and profits and all this other crap. These sports entities are profiting off of this. Now, I'm not saying what Pete Rose did was right. But at the time that we're living in, I think you could have gotten him off the band a long time ago. It's a complete double standard. Hey, we don't want you to, you know, bet on games. We don't want you to even give the illusion that you could be betting on games, because we want to protect the integrity of the game. But you're taking money from the very same books that you're telling these players not to go to. Among other things, hypocrisy is one of the things that just pisses me off the most. And this is a gutless decision, because everyone knew the second that Pete Rose died, you could just start the clock that they were going to do this. Gutless. All of them are absolutely gutless.
Yeah, I think that's was my initial reaction to it and why I don't like this. You've banned a guy from baseball. He's banned. He's banned. If he's banned, he's banned. Yes, he is dead, so technically he can't do anything anymore. But you're removing him. But technically, he can. Like, if he's not a part of, if you don't want him to be a part of baseball, he's not a part of baseball. Now he should be showing up in video packages. He should be celebrated in that way. And he could now be eligible once again for the Hall of Fame. And forget the Hall of Fame part of it. He was banned from baseball. Baseball wanted nothing to do with Pete Rose. And you know that ate him up. But you know, and he knew. I mean, we have audio of him talking about it. That after he died, he knew that this was a possibility. So if you're going to ban someone, they need to be banned forever. You ban them. Because if you're willing to remove them at some point because they're dead, if you're willing to remove them at all, why do you have to wait until they die? It just seems like, it seems cruel. It's torture. And we're ultimately talking about, like, it's not like he, I mean, it's, he just bet on baseball. He bet on his team to win. The punishment is far worse to me than what the crime ever was. And I do feel like baseball held it over Pete Rose. Not just excluding him, but he knew. He knew after he died something like this would happen. Oh, I've got a loophole for those that are not in the Hall of Fame and don't think they will be. I'll have that coming up. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.